and welcome to the Pinstripe Valley Podcast. No hitter edition, apparently. A little late to the fact, but still, that's okay. I'm Andrew Mearns, joined by Kunj. What's up?
Corey Kluber threw a new hitter, and the Rangers are just bad at hitting, apparently.
Yeah, they didn't get a single hit in that baseball game, which is the definition of a no-hitter.
Yes, it is.
I had considered leading into this segment by being like, and now we're here to talk about that no-hitter from last week that will live on in our brains forever, Spencer Turnbull.
Yeah, it really is the year of the no-hitter.
Yeah, like not even 24 hours before Corey Kluber threw his no-hitter, you know, Spencer Turnbull, the Tigers, threw a no-hitter against the Mariners. And then Corey Kluber's like, oh man, if Spencer Turnbull can do it, then I'm going to add this to my career resume.
Basically, I mean, he joins 2021 pitching legends like Wade Miley in throwing a no-hitter. But hey, what I did like about Corey Kluber's no-hitter was that he was pretty damn good.
And like sometimes that goes without saying, considering it's, you know, a no hitter, but he was incredibly sharp, even just in terms of how he mastered the opposing batters. There were lots of swings and misses, lots of weak contact. It really didn't even feel like he was bailed out by any tremendous defensive play like a Dwayne Wise catch or the Mark Burley perfect game robbing a home run. There's nothing really even close that looked like they came to getting a hit.
No, for sure. And I mean, when you're running out Tyler Wade and right field and he's making plays for you and, you know, it's still not even like something you want to worry about because of just how easy everything looked, that means he was just in control.
Yeah, total subplot of that game was Ryan Lamar dying and then
yes,
Tyler Wade being like, oh, yep, we're going to throw you out in right field. So good luck.
Hey, Tyler Wade was the real hero of that game.
Yeah, hey, he got the run. So there you go.
Exactly. No, but it was, you know, it was really cool. I know like a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the Effectively Wild podcast that had that question about whether what's more impressive today in today's game, like a no-hitter or Maddux. And so like, that's actually what I was tracking for Kluber the whole time. But obviously he didn't get the Maddux. He was at 101 pitches.
So close.
So if not for that walk, he would have had a perfect game.
Terrible.
And You know what? Fire him.
Yeah. You know what? Release him after the no-hitter.
DFA. DFA.
It's like, we're done with you, guy.
Corey Kluber, more like Boober.
Roasted him. Yeah.
Nailed it.
This was like a real culmination of basically the past month of great progress for Kluber from the slow start that he got off to when it looked like he struggled to even make it to the fifth inning. And now, like just in the past month, he had an eight inning start earlier. And now he just went nine innings throwing a no hitter, which is pretty incredible. And he had a lot of that old magic that I think a lot of people, including myself, even though I was a bit more optimistic about the Kluber signing, I didn't know that his stuff from his Cy Young Award winning years would come back even in one start like that. But that was something special.
Yeah, and obviously there's a lot of like no-hitter fatigue going around, and I get sure. It, but you know, I'd be lying if I wasn't saying I was all amped up and hyped and nervous during the whole thing. Like, it's obviously very special still, even especially for Kluber, just because of, you know, what you discussed, like what he's coming back from and all that, and the fact that he's doing it for the Yankees. Like, so it's easy for us to kind of just, you know, haha, no-hitter, whatever, and there's obviously still a little bit to that, but it was still just something very special to watch. I mean, we haven't seen a Yankees no-hitter since, what, David Cones, right?
Right, yeah. Basically, I totally get everyone else around the league with the reaction to Kluber the way it seemed to be, which is just like, okay, great, yeah, whatever, because there's no reason for them to care about another no-hitter, really, let alone a Yankees no-hitter. Yankees fans are never have any real right to ask for, like, oh, why is not anyone be happy for me? Yeah, we get it. We're Yankees fans. It's fine. But in this moment, we can acknowledge that was a really great moment to be a Yankees fan, just because it had been so long since there was even, like, a deep no-hitter attempt by a Yankees pitcher. They were going back, like, other than the Mike Messina near-perfect game, screw you, Carl Everett, which was already 20 years ago this year.
Right.
There had been no no-hitter carried into the ninth by any Yankees pitcher. Like, the deepest that anyone had gone was, like, the eighth inning, seventh inning sometimes. Yeah, Phil Hughes. I know CC Sabathia had a deep attempt at one point, but none of them went to the ninth. And this was incredible work by Kluber.
For real. And like, on, you know, that ninth inning, like, I didn't know that I could like feel or hear my heartbeat. It's not something I've ever considered or noticed, but like that ninth inning, I did. I was like, oh crap, that's a thing I didn't know I could do. And like, I honestly got a little emotional at the end of it. Like, you know, I wasn't like bawling my eyes out or anything, but like, there was a little bit of waterworks and I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
This is very special.
Yeah. Because as you said, he came back from so much. He pitched just the one inning last year. He ends up getting the no-hitter at the very place where his season began and ended last year in Texas, and barely pitched at all since the start of 2019. So this is a lot that he had to come back from just to get on the mound, let alone pitching well. And to see him channel that 2016 magic basically against the Rangers was just awesome. The no-hitter coming on the road too, that hadn't happened for a Yankees pitcher since 1951. All these other no-hitters in almost all living memory were at Yankee Stadium, but this one came on the road.
Yeah, and pretty much, yeah, exactly everything. And, you know, apparently he kind of set the bar for the rest of the rotation following him afterwards.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Apparently now everyone's just Gerrit Cole now, because they haven't allowed a run since Jameson Taillon's last start. Not his most recent start, but his last start on May 18th.
Look, we've just obviously discussed Jameson Taillon's season, and if he's going five innings and not allowing a run, they're doing something crazy right now.
Yeah, that was a real much-needed start for him on Sunday against the White Sox. Even though the Yankees swept them, that's still a very good team. And for him to, you know, handle them over those five innings would be a big step forward to hopefully, you know, getting back to some form. And Jordan Montgomery, yeah, too, who's was even better.
Right. And just to go back to Taillon for a second, like,
yeah,
it was definitely something I think much needed, not just for him, but also for the team, because they've definitely struggled closing out series.
Yeah.
Like, I know there's some rah-rah, like Boone kind of takes a series win and he's just kind of okay with that and just wants to kind of go along, which I don't buy into at all because I just think that's just straight bullshit. So it was just nice to kind of get the win, and obviously Taillon put them in a very good position to do that. They still ended up letting the White Sox tie the game and then having to walk it off with a walk-off walk, but it wasn't that Taillon had struggled and then the offense was going to have to kind of just come around and do their thing and fight even harder. He put them in a very good position, and it was much needed for both the team and for him.
Yeah, and it's been nice to see the Yankees offense show some fight late in some of these games too, because while they're still not like fully hitting their stride, they did have a good game in the middle of the series with when they scored seven runs in the 7-0 win. It's still been a lot of fighting for runs here and there, but they came up big late. They got the walk-off hit by Glaber on Friday, and then of course the Judge Shrimp on Sunday right after they had coughed up a ninth inning lead. And that was a tough one too, because the White Sox have been slowly fighting back to get to tie the game in the ninth inning, for they'd come a little bit closer on that home run that really shouldn't have been a home run if that one Yankees fan hadn't gotten in Frazier's way on the Yasmani Grandal fly ball. PSA from PSA, just let the outfielders catch the ball, it'll be fine.
stop your shit.
Yeah.
We haven't had to yell at you in a few weeks, Yankees fans, but like, don't make us start doing this again.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's weird because like the offense has done enough to help them win six games in a row now, but it's weird because it still doesn't feel like they've really hit their stride.
Because it's a lot of just Gleyber Torres just destroying baseball.
Yeah, Gleyber has been on a roll since coming back from the COVID IL, and Judge has been pretty strong too.
Yeah, in the last week, so, you know, he obviously missed that. He came back on the 19th. Since then, over five games, he's hitting .611. He has an on base of .632, slugging .833. Like, yeah, my guy, that'll do.
Yes, Glaber has been in control. Judge has been in control. We're still looking to see a little bit more, but it's great to see the starting rotation again, as they pretty much have all season long in the 2 months, have been picking them up. It's easy for the offense to know that they can at least stay in the game when their starting pitching is literally allowing zero runs.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, it's been a lot warmer weather, at least here in the New York, New Jersey area. So the last like week especially has been very, very warm. I hope that kind of is a sign of things to come, just with the offense picking up a little. You know, obviously we've talked about plenty about how it's been down around the league, you know, with the dead end ball and all that, so maybe warmer weather will kind of help get things going from that perspective. So yeah, it'll it'd just be nice to see some runs and not have to, you know, live through like 15,000 stressful like 1-0 games, 2-0 games, 2-1 games.
It would also be nice to not have to worry as much about them running into dumb outs on the base paths, because that's just like the one thing that they seem to still be doing.
Man, it's so bad.
And some of them are, you know, bang bang baseball plays. Yeah, it's a risk that maybe makes some sense. But it just seems to be happening so often for this team. They lead the league in runners thrown out on the base pads, and that's getting to be kind of tedious.
Yeah, like, you know, you're going to be thrown out on the bases. It's going to happen. Yeah. You're not going to go, like, without any out on the base for the whole season. That's fine. It's okay to even have, like, a decent amount or whatever, as long as it's, you know, like you said, like, the risk or anything like that. But some of them have just been like, what are you guys doing?
Yeah, some brain farts going on out there.
Absolutely. Like, I feel like I haven't been this mad about like the Yankees base running since like Rob Thompson was on the third base coach. I was like, what the hell is happening here?
Always do the opposite of what Thompson says.
Yeah. There's just been like so many like going for it when they shouldn't have, or like, you know, not going for it. Even sometimes it's not even just the getting thrown out. Sometimes it's like, hey, I feel like he could have made it. Why are you being very conservative here? But then also putting up the go sign on like other plays where it's just way too close. And some are just over, I don't know, man.
Yeah, it's a little weird. That could be cleaned up, hopefully. Yeah, speaking of getting things cleaned up, we probably are not going to see Aaron Hicks for the rest of the year, since he's getting that the wrist surgery for the torn tendon sheath, which is something that I think we all saw coming the moment we heard about it, because that doesn't really sound like something you can really come back from with just anti-inflammatories.
Yeah, it's obviously, you know, unfortunate, because Yankees outfield without Hicks is very, very scary. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you know, Stanton's on the IL right now, although he should be coming back, I think, tomorrow.
Yeah, I think they said there's a really good chance that he'll be back tomorrow, and if not, probably sometime later in the week. So
right. And like the when he originally went on the IL, like the 25th was his like target return date. So I don't think there's anything like major setback or anything that we've seen or heard of yet. And I think even Aaron Boone just discussed that, you know, it seems very good, very good chances of him coming back. But Stanton's obviously not playing the outfield a lot. So you really have just Judge, now Gardner, Frazier, who missed some time last week with what was just diagnosed as he's dealing with some neck things or something like
that. Neck stiffness. Yeah.
He has some neck things going on.
Yeah.
So they had an outfield of Andujar, Gardner, and then Lamar turned into Tyler Wade from left to right going for a while, just giving Judge some DH days. And that was not something you would expect from like the 2021 Yankees.
Yeah. Andujar in left field is almost as much of an adventure as he is at third base.
Yeah. I mean, he's had some quote unquote decent games. And by that I mean, like, we haven't noticed him out there a couple times, which is like, it's like the old umpire rule, right? If I know your name, it's probably not for a good reason. Yep. If I don't know your name as an umpire, that means you're doing a good job.
Yeah.
So like, if I don't see Andujar's name being called out, there's no fly ball to left and he's out there. Yeah. He had a great game as a left fielder, but he's also had some serious, serious, interesting plays, but like, it's to be expected with somebody who has pretty much very little to no experience out there. There was that one, I think it was in Friday or Saturday's game against the White Sox, I think it was, where Gardner had called it from center field and Andujar was just like, no, it's mine. And he just kind of kept running along, got in his way.
That was so graceful.
Yeah. But hey, you know, maybe go get an outfielder, Cashman.
Yeah, it seems like that is the plan long term. It does look like right now they're just going to sort of roll with what they have, since they'll get Stanton back on the roster soon. And then Judge will be appearing out there a bit more. And I guess they're okay with Tyler Wade being your backup outfielder guy and Andujar being thrown out there. But we'll see how long that keeps on going, because if they were desperate enough to call up Ryan Lamar in that instance, then it feels like they might not be super comfortable with the way things are. But hey, if what we're talking about right now is what's the Yankees backup outfield situation, then yeah, I guess things are going okay.
Yeah. And for what it's worth, like, as much as, you know, we were talking about Andujar as an outfielder, Tyler Wade didn't look too terrible out there. I feel like, you know, he, you know, especially like in Corey Kluber's no-hitter that game, like, you know, he made a couple good reads, couple good jumps on the ball where he just kind of, it didn't look like, oh my God, is he going to get there? Whatever. Obviously, the one thing you can say about Tyler Wade is his speed. So like, even if he makes a bad read, you know, he has a pretty decent chance of just covering the ground to make up for it. But I don't know. I felt like he looked decent out there. Not somebody I want to throw out there every single day, but in a pinch every once in a while or whatever, I think I'm a little comfortable with it, at least more comfortable than I do are playing the field, for whatever that's worth.
Yeah. And your token Mike Tauchman update is that he has a 662 OPS with the Giants, which is a smidge lower than what Gary Sanchez's OPS is. So if you're still pining for Tauchman, know that you're also pining for what Gary Sanchez has done with the plate, which is what it is.
Spoiler alert, Mike Tauchman is not that good.
Yeah. And again, we bear no ill will toward him. We just don't care about him.
He's fine, I guess. But you cannot bring me to care about him.
No. Well, have fun in San Francisco, suck, man. Exactly. But anything else you want to get into?
So I'm going to just kind of give a quick Michael King update, as I am one to do.
Oh, of course. We need it.
He is, unfortunately, off of the top 12 of the leaderboard for the Baseball Reference War. Well, hopefully he'll make his reappearance soon, but the top 12 definitely has a lot more of, okay, this makes sense. Maybe not the order. You know, we've been saying that for a couple of weeks, but, you know, you got Gerrit Cole leading the way, Judge behind him, Gleyber Torres behind him. That third, Chapman and Corey Kluber round up the top five. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty good. I guess a no-hitter will do that for you.
Yeah, little boost in the old war.
One little fun thing, though. So I know, was it like, about a month ago, we were wondering, you know, what's going to happen. Will somebody else hit one war before Gerrit Cole hits two? Well, so far, nobody else besides Gerrit Cole has hit two war on the Baseball Reference page, but he's close to three war. He's at 2.8.
I just want to see him lap people.
Now there is a chance that somebody can, you know, reach two war before he reaches three, because Aaron Judge is at 1.9. But it's a close race. It's a close race.
Oh, man. Gerrit Cole. Gerrit Cole is a fairly ridiculous pitcher, because, like, again, obviously he had the weird loss on last week against the Rangers early. Then he pitched against the White Sox, and obviously he was a little bit sharper than he was against Texas, but he didn't seem like prime Gerrit Cole form, because he walked a few batters, and that just doesn't really happen. And he still threw seven shutout innings.
Yeah. Like, that's the thing about him. Like, when he's, like, off, he's still ridiculous.
Yeah.
And when he's bad, he's still not bad. Like, yeah, you don't want to give up five runs in an outing or whatever, but he's still not bad.
Yeah, he did his job and then some against the White Sox. Yeah. So,
although it is crazy, over his last two starts, he has five walks. Oh, before, man, that, he had three in eight starts.
Well, so what you're saying is sell high.
Yes. But, you know, after that Rangers start, his ERA did shoot to way over two at 2.03. Ooh. He brought it back down to a 1.81.
Also, honorary shout out, just because we were talking about Cole and it made me think of Cy Young type guys, Jacob DeGrom having to face that low A team. And they were just tweeting, like, we're sad, we're scared.
Like, what was the one tweet was great. It was like, Jacob DeGrom is throwing 102. Please send help.
I feel like you have to have, like, a sense of humor about it. Otherwise, you're just like...
Oh, yeah. Oh, but what was actually really cool about that is, I forgot who it was. I apologize, person, that I don't remember your name. But somebody was mentioning how they interviewed that team that he faced afterwards, just to see, like, what that felt like. And they were talking about how they got the scouting report really late the night before on Jacob DeGrom, which is just that, you know, he throws very fast. And then, but then, like, what was really cool about that is, like, a lot of them went on to, like, MLB The Show and, like, pitched as him and then, like, hit against him just to kind of try and get some work in against him, just to see, which, like, obviously is not the exact same thing, but I don't know. I just, something about that was just kind of cool to me.
It's like, what do we do to prep? I don't know. Should we just play the show? Yeah, sure, I guess.
I just see one of them going up to bat, like, all right, put this on rookie mode. All right, hit X. X is the power swing. X is the power swing. Hope for the best.
Hey, shout out to the guy who did not strike out against him. And I think someone else reached on an error. So, hey, you're doing stuff.
Yeah, because they sent out a video of just him. And it's like, what are we supposed to do against this? And then, like, I was looking at the line. I'm like, holy crap. Like, I think we were talking about it on our Slack. Like, okay, one person didn't strike out. Congratulations. And then I was like, wait a second. There's somebody actually on base. How the hell did that happen? Even through an error. Good for you.
Yes. Well, hopefully we never have to see Gerrit Cole in a rehab start, because hopefully he never gets hurt. So that's what I'm going with.
It'd be nice.
Yes, yes. All right. Well, we'll take an ad break and we'll be right back. And we're back. So anything else you want to get into? Or should we go into our Meet a Baby Bomber?
I think we're good to meet a baby bomber.
All right. Who's the baby bomber we're meeting this week from you?
So this is a very, very lesser known prospect. I don't think anybody's even heard of him. Okay. Luis Hill.
No. Yes.
He is ranked fifth on the Yankees prospects on the MLB pipeline. Mm-hmm. He is a right-handed pitcher for Double-A Somerset, and he had himself a very, very nice game last week on the 21st, where he went four and two-thirds innings, allowed two hits, one walk, and nine strikeouts. What was crazy about that is that was on 82 pitches, 57 of them were strikes. He hit 100 on the radar gun and was mm-hmm. like sitting around 97, 99. You know, it's pretty solid. And you know, what's cool about him is that he wasn't signed by the Yankees. He was actually signed for like $90,000 by the Twins back in like 2015.
That's right.
And then after like the 2016 or 2017 season, the Yankees had designated Jake Cave for assignment. And the Twins were just like, you know what? We need Jake Cave. So they took on Jake Cave and traded Hill to the Yankees for him. I think so far it's been working out a little bit better in the Yankees end because, you know, Jake Cave is still Jake Cave. And right now he's on the IL for the Twins. And because of that little fun fact, Rob Refsnyder was called up to play center field for the Twins.
Old
the
faith. Twins just have some
like Yankees organizational legends going on in their system. But at least on the Yankee side, we get to see Luis Hill kind of work his way through the system, get us excited for like, you know, his prospect potential. And we'll see where that goes. But 9 Ks in the game and like 5 innings, that'll do. That'll play.
That's pretty good stuff. And he's a guy who's like going to be a high riser, seems like. And just looking back on Jake Cave, what he did in Minnesota, what he's still doing, because he's not like gone or anything. He's just injured. He was good in 2019 to help them to a playoff spot that year. So I guess you could say like maybe he helped them some in that regard, but I don't know if in the end it's going to be worth giving up Luis Hill for that. But you know, when have the Twins not taken L's to the Yankees, really? So
I mean, so what you're saying is he had the one season where he was Rake Cave, but ever since then Hill has made it look like a Jake save for the Yankees. Boom.
Yes, correct.
You're welcome. Thank Greg you. Kirkland, who I know is listening to this was for you.
Pouring out for my homies.
He's not dead.
Yeah, that's true. Well, Jake Cave is on the injured list, so.
I meant Greg. I thought you were talking about him.
Yeah, no, he's just in Minnesota as well.
Yes. He gets to watch a lot of Twins baseball.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Byron Buxton just, like, hurt a lot. Otherwise, it'd be a lot more fun.
Womp, womp, womp. All right.
But anyway, who are you introducing us to this week?
Okay, so this week, my baby bomber name generator turned out Stephen Sensley, who's an outfielder for High A Hudson Valley. So I haven't really heard of this guy too much before, so I was glad to look into him a little bit. He was actually drafted 3 times out of 3 different schools until he finally got taken by the Yankees. First, he was taken out of University High School in Baton Rouge in 2013. Then he was taken out of LSU Eunice, which I never heard of before, in 2015. Where he set a school record with 21 homers, but he decided to transfer to University of Louisiana Lafayette rather than going into the pros. And he was drafted out of ULL in 2017. Something fun that I learned about ULL is that that's also Ron Guidry's alma mater. And their team name is the ULL Raging Cajuns.
That's awesome.
Yeah, the freaking rules.
I wish the Yankees, like, just like in, even their like minor league teams had just more fun names.
Yeah, I was glad that like when Tampa decided to change from just Tampa Yankees, but Tarpons is not really super interesting either. So whatever.
It's better than Tampa Yankees. I will give them that.
Yeah, it'd be funny if like one of the if like Hudson Valley randomly was like, "Hey, we're actually going to be the Pizza Rats now in tribute to Staten Island."
God.
Oh, God. Anyway, back to Stephen Sensley. He hit 314, 417, 576 in his final season at ULL, so that definitely caught the Yankees' eye. I think I mentioned he was drafted in the 12th round. He was good in that first year. He zoomed from the rookie league to low-A Charleston while laying waste to the Appalachian League with Pulaski in the process, RIP Pulaski. But the problem is that he's hit a bit of a wall since jumping to high A in June 2018. Basically, he's played there since June 2018, and he's hit 208, 289, 366 in 158 games, which equates to just above a 93 WRC plus. Oof. He's also only played in five games with Hudson Valley this year. I mean, he's hit okay, but it's only been the five games, and some other players are playing above him. But yeah, I do have it on the record that Nick Swisher is a fan of him. And do you know how I know this? Because on his Instagram, Stephen Sensley posted a video of him hitting a home run set to Tupac. And Nick Swisher comments out on it, "Let's go!" With about seven O's and three exclamation points.
Look, if you're going to have somebody in your corner as a hype man, Nick Swisher is a great one to have as a hype man. But yeah. Also, I don't know who Nick Swisher isn't a fan of.
Yeah, that's true. I think he's not a fan of Ozzie Guillen. I think that's about it.
Yeah, besides him.
Yeah, but I like the. I think that this is just Nick Swisher's role with the Yankees. He's just good to say, "Let's go" for random prospects on their Instagram.
I'm still 100% convinced that they drafted Josh Bro just to have Nick Swisher say bro. Because he was announcing the Yankees draft pick that year.
It's like, you know what? We got to do this. It's like they were choosing between two, but like we have to let him have this.
That was like part of like Nick Swisher's agreement with the team. Like, I need to say bro on TV.
Yeah, like fine.
But yeah, that's all I got for Sensley. Hopefully he channels some of that raging Cajun energy again.
Go Nick Sensley. Hopefully your bet can come around and things will start to make a lot more Sensley.
Steven Sensley.
I got stuck on Nick Swisher.
Yeah, well, it happens to the best of us.
Are you telling me they're not two separate people? I mean, are you telling me they're not one just giant combined being?
They're a Voltron. Okay, yeah. So, shall we go on to the Yankee and... Mm-hmm. Yeah, that wasn't good. Mm-hmm. Betray of the week.
Yes, let's go for it.
Got a false start on the horn, too. It's fine.
Yeah, shit happens.
Yeah. All right. Who you got for Yankee of the week?
So, I think the Yankee of the week is like, obvious after the game. I even like texted or Slack you. I was just like, "Hey, our Yankee of the week combined just has to be Corey Kluber, right?" Because yeah, we talked about it already. He did something that we haven't seen in a while. Obviously, you know, no hitter fatigue notwithstanding, it was still something really special. And just outside of that, like we talked about, he had a fantastic game. He was just calm, controlled the whole time. It didn't look like it was getting away from him. You know, it wasn't just one of those no hitters where they just weren't getting a hit, but he was walking a lot of guys or just looked like he was just getting lucky. No, he pitched a great game and it was just all him.
Yeah, that's the easy pick for Yankee of the week, honestly. But
yeah.
I will say that just to zig a little bit, salute another guy who's been doing great. I want to give one. I'm going to give my Yankee of the week to Gleyber Torres just because right. He's come back from the IL so strong. 6.11, 8.33 slugging percentage since returning. And I know it's only five games, but hey, you know what? He's come back and he's been like, nope, I'm still good. Early April Gleyber was a figment of your imagination. Don't worry about him.
Yeah, Gleyber has been fantastic. We talked about it. And just because of what he's done over the last week, he raises like season average from 234 to 282. That's 50 points in a week. That's not easy to do. Like, you know, we're not in the first week of the season where like one hit will change it drastically one way or the other. You got to really put in the effort to raise it 50 points a month and a half into the season. Still pretty damn impressive, Gleyber.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hashtag Gleyber good.
Kluber good. Gleyber good.
I do want to give a special shout out just to Jordan Montgomery too.
Oh yeah, that was a great start.
So he came out, he threw seven shutout innings, 11 strikeouts against the White Sox team that just demolished left-handed pitching all season. And Tony La Russa notwithstanding, they're one of the best teams in the American League. So for him to come out and do that and bounce back from his start against Baltimore, which was his worst one of the season, ugh. I'm not really sure how that happens, but like I said last week, if you're going to have a bad start between, like, you know, Baltimore's a fine team to have a bad start against because, like, who cares? They're just whatever. But if you're going to, you know, live up to the competition and pitch well against the Rays, pitch well against the White Sox, I'll take it. Good for you, Jordan.
He had too many crab cakes the night before. It's fine. Or maybe he just had a big brunch from Miss Shirley's, which I deeply miss from my time in Baltimore. Shout out to the monkey bread there.
I've never been to Baltimore, so I cannot relate.
It is a good place. Don't let people tell you otherwise.
I've actually heard very good things about Baltimore.
Yeah. Well, I will go on. I will turn this into a, about Andrew's dumb 3 years after college in Baltimore. But that is not this podcast.
We'll record a special edition for that.
Yeah. Go to Brewers Art. Anyway, yeah, another thing about that Jordan Montgomery start, just him matching zeros against Carlos Rodon, who is also striking out everybody and making the Yankees look very foolish. That was really big for him to like match him zero for zero and give the Yankees a chance to win that game, which they did.
Oh, absolutely. It set the tone for the whole weekend. Yeah. Obviously, you had Gerrit Cole go in the second game. Then like, obviously with Tyone season, him having the series finisher, you like really needed like Jordan Montgomery to kind of step up just because you figure that's going to give you your best chance to win the series against, like we talked about, the best team in the AL potentially. So him to go out and do that, match him zero for zero so the Yankees can squeak out a win, great. Then you have Gerrit Cole going the next day. And then, you know, Tyone even stepped up and did his thing.
Yeah. So there you go. So we'll go to the Mitre of the week. Who you got?
It pains me to say this, but it's DJ LeMahieu. He's not had a very good week at all. You know, in the 5 games since we've last recorded, he has a grand total of 2 hits in 22 plate appearances. It's not pretty. He has a batting average 111. He's not even getting on pace. He's not even like on base and like walking. He's like his on base over the last week is 182, slugging 167. It's rough. Obviously, you know, he's not the DJ LeMahieu this year that we've gotten used to the last, you know, 2 years of him in pinstripes. So hopefully, you know, he can start to kind of turn things around. Like I kind of had a feeling maybe like the dead end ball was affecting his like power numbers or whatever. But even still without the power, it's just like he's really struggled at the plate this past week, especially.
Maybe he also had some bad crab cakes.
Maybe him too. Yeah.
They went out together and because he's an everyday player, it affects him more than Montgomery, who was able to recover. You know, that's how it works, right?
I think so.
Yeah, but at least I'm feeling better about DJ than it was earlier in the season. So he'll probably rebound soon. So we'll go with that.
Yeah, but yeah, DJ, do better, please. I miss the machine.
Yeah, my Mitre of the week is going to go to the Phillies and the Blue Jays for doing nothing against the Red Sox and the Rays over the weekend.
Yeah, that's fair.
Actually, I have a real pick. My real pick is basically Yankees catchers, because both Gary and Kyle Higashioka equally share the shitty blame for Mitre of the week status, because they've been bad in the past week, which is a real bummer. I mean, I know Higgy's been sliding basically since the second week of the season, but Gary was my Yankee of the week last week and he's slumped badly in the week since then. Combined between them, they've gone 3-for-27 with just 3 walks and 1 extra base hit, which was a double in the past week. So obviously catchers are normally asked to be more defenders than hitters, but they got to do a little bit better than 3-for-27.
Yeah. It was nice to see Gary kind of heating up a little bit last week, and like you said, he was your Yankee of the week, so that was a good call. It's definitely been rough. Like Higashioka, I'm just like, he's just kind of doing what I expected him to do with at the plate. Yeah. Like very much feared overexposure, and we're getting it, so I'm not too sad about that. Obviously, you know, I don't want him to do poorly. It'd be fun if he was actually, you know, hitting really well like he was the first 2 weeks. But it kind of stings a little bit more to see Gary, you know, slump so hard after, you know, what seemed like, you know, he was kind of getting into his groove. But hopefully maybe just a bad week and he, you know, they can pick things up.
Yeah. I guess I will give Higgy minor shout out for, you know, catching the no-hitter, because like that's not nothing. Kluber was definitely very complimentary of Higgy's work after the game. So maybe I should rescind the Higgy aspect of this and just give it to Gary, unfortunately.
Hey, Gary caught Montgomery's great start against the White Sox.
That's true. That's true. That was also a really good outing. Not a no-hitter, but very good outing.
Hey, if Jordan Montgomery, left-handed pitcher, can have 11 strikeouts against the White Sox, I'm going to give Gary credit. So yeah. Either they're both Mitre of the week, or neither of them are.
Yeah, we're back to just ragging on the Phillies and the Blue Jays.
Yes.
Well, Blue Jays are playing the Rays as we're recording this on Monday afternoon. So maybe they'll actually win a game. Oh, nope. They're losing 5-3 in the sixth. So yeah, hopefully they'll continue their losing ways as the Yankees play the Blue Jays in this upcoming 3-game set. So,
or, you know, knowing them, they'll start to, you know, just play a lot better when facing the Yankees for some reason.
That'd be annoying. Well, We will see what Kluber does for an encore anyway, because that he'll start tonight, the day that this goes up. So we'll see.
What you're saying is perfect game or bust.
Exactly. Maybe, yeah. Will Corey Kluber be Johnny Vandermeer? Probably not, but hey, we can hope, right?
We can certainly hope.
Yes. All right. Got anything else? Are we done?
No, I think we're good.
Cool. All right. Well, you can follow us on Twitter at Pinstrip Alley. You can rate and review us on iTunes. I'm on Twitter at Mearns PSA. Where are you this week?
I'm at Mearns PSA.
Oh, wow.
Why not?
We're both at Mearns PSA.
Yeah. Don't worry. When you send the tweet, the Twitter bots and the Twitter servers will know exactly how to deliver the message to me.
Yeah, it'll go to your phone somehow.
Yes, somehow.
Actually, it'll go to your brain through the vaccine that you got. Because that's
what the microchips are for.
Ah, of course. Yes. All right. Well, that'll do it for us this week. Go Yankees. Keep winning. Winning is good. Bye-bye.
Maybe Michael King will make it back onto the leaderboard next week. Stay tuned.
Fingers crossed.